The following episode of Amy's Kids Show is not being done live in the studio. It was live in the studio in the past, so I hope you appreciate this rebroadcast of a previously recorded episode of Amy's Kids Show. Thank you for listening. Good morning, folks. Happy Saturday out there. You're listening to WGDR Plainfield, WGDH Hardwick, Central Vermont Community Radio, 91.1 FM and 91.7 FM if you are lucky enough to be within the listening range. And I am lucky enough to be within the listening range, and I am here on a beautiful Saturday morning here in Central Vermont. And it's beautiful and perfect for today. I mean, I love the way the magic comes together, because I actually have a nice story that we're going to listen to today. And it's a nice kind of rainy morning looking out there. It's cloudy, and you just kind of want to snuggle back in those covers or maybe light sheet, actually. Not very many heavy covers. It's still pretty warm because it's summertime here in Vermont. And so we are still going to be celebrating summertime. And we're also going to be celebrating our imaginations and our ability to communicate with others. And those are all things that our thinking brains do for us, the upper part of our brain that we've been celebrating here on Amy's Kids Show. And for the next hour, we're going to be, you know, learning a little bit about that, but also dancing around and having fun and enjoying a nice long story. So I'm looking forward to this. Oh, I'm a little tired today, so I'm looking forward to a nice story. And since it's summertime, I've been thinking a lot about swimming. Has anybody out there been swimming, right? Anybody like to swim? I love to swim. And something I remember doing when I was a little girl was having a little tea party at the bottom of the pool. Did you ever do that with your friends? Maybe you just did that yesterday. I don't know. But you kind of sink yourself down to the bottom of the pool, which is a little tricky to do. You have to kind of imagine that you're heavy down in your bottom side and cross your legs and sort of sink yourself. Use your arms a little bit too to get yourself down to the bottom of the pool. And while you're down there with your friends, you open your eyes under the water and you pretend to have a tea party, right? You pretend to lift up a little teacup and sip on it and pass things around. And, you know, maybe you could do that right now wherever you are. Can you pretend that you have a little teacup, right? And imagine that you have a little teacup in your hands. And, well, what do you like to put in your tea? Maybe you want a little lemon, squirt a little lemon in there. Maybe a little sugar, just a little bit. Maybe some honey. Maybe a little milk. Stir it up with a spoon and sip it. Oh, is that delicious? Now, we just used our imagination. We can use that under the water when we're swimming. We can use that sitting at the table right now. And we can communicate our imagination to others. And that is just what's so much fun about being a human. We're so creative. You're so creative. Thank you for having tea with me this morning. We're going to get going. We're going to celebrate summer. And we're going to celebrate speaking. And we have a funny song about I speak six languages. Let's see if you can catch the joke in there. Thanks for joining me this morning. Let's go dance and have a good time.
Sing along with us, get ready.
Ready?
Summer comes here. Summer comes here. The sand and the sun and the band has the fun in high gear. Summer comes here. Summer comes here. So cheer, it's become clear. Summer, summer, summer comes here.
Summertime's here.
The sand and the sun and the band has the fun in high. summertime's here. Everything we do together,
everything we do,
makes us even better friends. Hope the sun will shine forever. Hope the party never ends. Summertime's here.
Let's play a little singing game. We'll have to divide ourselves into three groups. Group one will sing the first line. Group two will sing the second line. And group three will sing the third line. Now, group one will take... I saw a big dog.
I saw a big dog.
Group two will take... I saw a bigger dog.
I saw a bigger dog.
And group three will take... I saw... the biggest dog of all. I saw the biggest dog of all. Now let me sing it through by myself. I saw a big dog. I saw a bigger dog. I saw the biggest dog of all. Now I want you to sing the whole thing with me. Here we go. we go. I saw a big dog. I saw a bigger dog. I saw a bigger dog. I saw the biggest dog of all. Once more, I saw a big dog. I saw a bigger dog.
I saw a bigger dog.
I saw the biggest dog of all.
Fäckchen, Love,
Galopp.
Über Stock und über Steine, aber bricht dir nicht die Beine. Hopp, 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 hopp. Fäckchen, Love, Galopp.
That's it.
The key to speaking Kiddish.
Vinny speaks Italiano. Pierre speaks Francais. Maria, she speaks Espanol, like gracias and ole. Ishak, he speaks Yiddish. He's fluent at Hebrew, and Jeffrey, he speaks Kiddish, though he's almost 42. The key to speaking Kiddish is think young, that's all you do.
And always speak in riddles, speak in tongue twisters, too.
And giggle from the middle every other paragraph.
The key to speaking Kiddish is remember how to laugh. Jeff likes my Aunt Lizzie, and he's best friends with my folks. He teaches magic tricks to me and tells me funny jokes. And every time he visits us, he wrestles me a lot. My parents say that 7-year-old humor's what he's got.
The key to speaking Kiddish is think young, that's all you do.
And always speak in riddles, speak in tongue twisters too.
And giggle from the middle every other paragraph.
The key to speaking Kiddish is remember how to laugh.
Do you know someone who acts like he was born grown up? Like he's never had a toy or a balloon he has blown up? Who has never eaten too much cookie dough and then thrown up? It's time you teach him Kiddish. Here's how he can bone up.
To get in shape for talking Kiddish, do this with your lips. And when a street sign says to walk instead of walking, skip. And never tell kids at your age and never put them down. And every day do something crazy and don't boss kids around.
The key to speaking Kiddish is think young, that's all you do.
And always speak in riddles, speak in tongue twisters too.
And giggle from the middle every other paragraph.
The key to speaking Kiddish is remember how to laugh.
I speak 6 languages, I'm proud to tell. I speak 6 languages, though not very well. I speak 6 languages, and that's a thing which is rare in this day and age. When I go to Spain, I take my siesta, and soon I begin to snore. Oh, I wish you could hear me with all my amigos. I sound like a real señor. I was lifting a piano with friends from Botswana. It was big as an elephant. And someone let go and it fell on my toe. When I screamed, they knew just what I meant. I speak 6 languages, I'm proud to tell. I speak 6 languages, though not very well. I speak 6 languages, and that's a thing which is rare in this day and age. I gave a great lecture in Antwerp, and I don't think they knew I was faking. 'Cause when I blew my nose in Flemish, I could see that my point was well taken. I was speaking in Peking to a crowd of 1,000, and I basically hacked my way through it. But when I gave a sneeze in perfect Chinese, I'm sure that they thought I was fluent. I speak 6 languages, I'm proud to tell. I speak 6 languages, though not very well. I speak 6 languages, and that's a thing which is rare in this day and age. At in Paris, I ordered baked brie, and instead they brought baked potato. But I'll bet that they understood real good when I left without tipping the waiter. I speak six languages, I'm proud to tell. I speak six languages, though not very well. I speak six languages, and that's a thing which is rare in this day and age. I speak six languages, and that's a thing which is rare in this day and age.
Well, folks, do you speak six languages the way that that our friend there did in that song? Louis Franco speaks six languages. That's what he explained in that song. But does he really, topologically speaking, perhaps he does. And what's that word, topologically? That's a new word I'm learning today. It's in a song that's going to come up later on. And I just... the magic of how this show comes together is amazing, and all the amazing things that I learn when I'm getting ready to do this show and when I'm doing this show is just great. So topologically speaking means, you know, if you know just a little bit about things, it can seem like you know everything, right? He can pretend to speak those languages, but he doesn't really. He just knows a few words here and there, but he's pretending. And this story we're going to hear today, it's called The Emperor's New Clothes. And in The Emperor's New Clothes, the grown-ups are pretending. See, grown-ups can pretend, too, especially when they have topological information. They can do a lot of pretending. And so in this story, the grown-ups are pretending, and only one person in the whole township, village, country, where these people live, only one person can speak the truth to the emperor. And so who's the emperor? What is an emperor? Does anybody know? An emperor is someone who runs the country, who rules over the people and gets to decide everything, right? So the emperor is the final decision maker, and they get to decide everything that happens. And so people try to be nice to the emperor because, of course, you know, they want good things to happen for them. So in this story, the emperor is going to get tricked by someone who's going to be pretending with him, and he's not going to know the difference. Or maybe he does know the difference, but because everyone agrees with him, he can't tell that he doesn't really have new clothes. The only person who has the courage to tell him is going to be a little kid, a child, right? And kids, I don't know if you know this, but that's why sometimes grown-ups are a little bit nervous being around kids, because kids do speak the truth often more times than adults do. And so in this story, it is going to be a little kid who's going to have the courage to tell the emperor. And so that's what this story is about here, speaking and pretending and knowing truth from fiction. Well, that's all what our thinking brain does. So listening to stories is really good exercise for our thinking brain, because we have to turn all of these words that we're about to hear into a story, and we're going to make pictures in our minds. And that part of our brain that's making the pictures along with the story is the upper part of our brain at the top of our skull, our human brain. And so it's going to take the words and it's going to mix them up with things we already know and make some amazing pictures. Oh, sorry, here we go. I almost missed it. The story's starting, guys. Enjoy.
He was so hopelessly in love with beautiful new clothes that he spent all of his money on them. He took no interest whatever in the theatre. He did not trouble himself in the least about his soldiers. Nor did he care to go either hunting or riding in the park, unless, of course, it gave him the opportunity to show off his new clothes. different garments for each hour of the day. And just as in most countries, one might safely assume that the king would be in his throne room or in his council chamber, it was always said of this monarch, the emperor is in his dressing room. Life was jolly in the large town where the emperor held court, and each day hosts of new visitors would arrive. One day, two rogues, calling themselves weavers, requested an audience with the emperor. They claimed to be able to weave the most beautiful cloth imaginable. They said that not only were the colors and patterns of their cloth exceptionally beautiful, but any clothing made from this material possessed the curious quality of being completely invisible to anyone who was either undeserving of his position or impossibly dull-witted. Those must indeed be splendid clothes, thought the emperor. If I had clothes made from that material, I'd be able to tell at once which men in my empire were unfit for their posts. I would even be able to distinguish the wise men from the fools. Oh, yes, I must certainly order some of that material to be woven for me at once. And the emperor gave the two weavers a great deal of money in advance so that they could begin their work immediately. They set up two looms and began busily weaving away. But in truth, there was nothing whatsoever on their shuttles. They asked for the finest silk and the purest gold and silver thread, but hid every last bit of it away in their own bags while they pretended to be working late into the night on the imperial cloth. Before long, everyone in the town had heard of the wonderful quality that the cloth was said to possess, and each person was quite anxious to discover how unfit for his job or how incredibly dim-witted his neighbor was. The emperor was anxious as well. I should like to know how those weavers are progressing with my cloth, he thought. But immediately became uneasy when he remembered that anyone who was dull-witted or unfit for his office would be unable to see it. To be sure, he thought, I have no need to be concerned for my own imperial self. Nevertheless, he decided to send someone else first, just to see how things were progressing, you understand. I shall send my faithful old minister to the weavers, thought the emperor. He will be best able to judge the material, for he is a wise man, and no one is better fit for his office. So the trusted old minister stepped into the room where the weavers were busily working. But when he turned his gaze to the looms, a very troubled expression came over his face. Heaven preserve me, thought the old minister, opening his eyes as wide as possible. The weavers bade the distressed official to step a bit closer and asked if he did not admire the exquisite pattern and beautiful colouring. He pointed to the empty looms, and the poor old minister opened his eyes even wider. He looked and looked, but he could see nothing, for of course there was nothing to see. Well, my lord minister, have you nothing to say about the cloth? Oh, yes, it is very beautiful, most admirable indeed, proclaimed the old minister. Such a pattern, and the colours, is remarkable. I shall certainly tell the emperor that I am well pleased by it. Thank you, my lord minister. We are very pleased to hear it, said the weavers, for indeed they were. They then proceeded to describe wonderful colours and exquisite patterns to him in full detail. They even went so far as to point to what they said was a complicated fish motif in the border. The old minister listened very carefully to everything the weavers had to say so that he would be able to describe the cloth to the emperor. The knaves then asked for more gold and silver thread, saying that it was necessary in order to complete what they had begun. What they really did was to hide all that was given to them in their own bags and continue working away with as much activity as before at the empty looms. Afterwards, the emperor sent another of his trusted officials to see how the work was progressing and to ask whether it would soon be finished. The same thing happened to this gentleman as to the old minister. He looked at the looms from all sides but could see nothing at all but the empty frames. "Is it not a fine piece of work? Does it not appear as beautiful to your excellency as it did to my lord the minister?" asked one of the weavers. The frightened official did his best to recall the old minister's description of the cloth. He feigned delight in the beautiful colours and the originality of the patterns. He even went so far as to express his particular admiration for the fish border motif. "Begging your excellency's pardon, but these are birds. The fish motif is over here," said one of the weavers, pointing to another part of the loom. "Oh, of course, of course," said the confused courtier. The utter magnificence of the cloth quite dazzled me." "Your words of praise please us no end, your excellency," proclaimed the rogues, bowing and smiling all the while. "Your imperial majesty, it is absolutely enchanting," exclaimed the official when he returned to the emperor. "Really, one must see it for oneself. Words can hardly capture it." And very soon, everyone in the imperial city was discussing the emperor's wonderful cloth as though they had seen it with their own eyes. Finally, the emperor decided that he would like to see his costly cloth for himself while it was still on the loom. And so, with a large company of courtiers, among whom were the two trusted officials who had already praised the imaginary cloth, he went to inspect the work of the two clever weavers. When they heard the royal party approaching, the two rogues pretended to work harder than ever at the empty looms. "Is it not magnificent?" proclaimed the two trusted officials. "If your majesty would only be so kind as to gaze upon it. Observe, what a splendid design, what glorious colors." And at the same time, they pointed to the empty looms, for they imagined that everyone but themselves could see this magnificent piece of workmanship. The emperor's face turned four distinct colors behind his frozen smile. Ah, yes, he proclaimed aloud to everyone in the room. It is beautiful. It is very, very beautiful. It has our highest approval. As he said this, he nodded his head approvingly while staring at the empty looms. For on no count would he admit that he could not see what two of the officers of his court had praised so highly. The entire company that had come along stared at the looms as well, and was rather quiet. But as soon as the emperor had spoken, they too exclaimed over the excellent quality of the non-existent cloth. Oh, yes, yes, it is beautiful. It is very, very beautiful, they all exclaimed. They then advised the emperor to commission a suit of clothes to be made of this splendid material so that he might wear it in the great festival parade that would soon take place. We are terribly pleased to see that His Majesty finds favor with our humble efforts, said one of the weavers. We think it is rather special ourselves, if we may be so bold as to say so. The emperor nodded his agreement heartily. It is outstanding. It is stupendous. It is very, very stupendous, exclaimed the courtiers, for everyone was equally delighted. The emperor then awarded the two rascals an imperial decoration to wear and bestowed upon them the title of Gentlemen Weavers of the Imperial Loom. Oh, well, you are too kind, Your Majesty, they said, shedding tears of joy. Oh, but Your Majesty is much, much too kind. The two swindlers set up the entire night before the grand festival parade was to take place. They used no less than 16 candles to illuminate the room in which they were working, so that everyone would notice how eager they were to complete the emperor's new clothes. They pretended to remove the material from the looms. They snipped elaborate patterns in the air with their scissors. And they stitched away using needles without any thread. See, they finally announced, the emperor's new clothes are ready. And now the emperor with his noblest courtiers came to receive the finished garments. The two rogues raised their hands in the air as though they were holding something for him to see. Here are your Imperial Majesty's breeches, they announced. Here is the doublet. Here is the mantle. The whole suit is as light as a spider's web. One might fancy one were wearing nothing at all, but that is precisely the beauty of it. How true, chimed the courtiers. How very, very true. If your Imperial Majesty will be so kind as to remove your clothes, we will dress you in the new suit here in front of the looking glass, said the weavers. The emperor removed all his clothes, and the weavers pretended to dress him in one piece after another of the fabulous new garments. Finally, they pretended to fasten his long trailing mantle about his shoulders. Then one of the weavers put his hand to his mouth and looked quite troubled. He whispered something into the ear of the other weaver, and soon he too looked terribly troubled. Would your majesty be so kind as to stand quite still? One of them asked very gravely. It seems that we have neglected to trim off a certain thread. They began circling round the emperor very carefully, as though they were sneaking up on a rabbit. Then one of them suddenly lunged in, and much to the consternation of the emperor, snipped his scissors with a great flourish. Got it, he exclaimed loudly. Oh, oh, now your majesty does look magnificent. Yes, yes, very, very magnificent. Oh, 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 someone hold me, for I think I shall faint from sheer ecstasy. The emperor stood in front of the mirror, staring at his naked reflection. Oh, how wonderful His Majesty looks, the courtiers cried. How perfectly everything fits. such a pattern, magnificent colors, truly imperial. These are indeed royal robes. The ceremonial canopy which is to be borne over your majesty in today's procession is waiting outside, announced the chief master of the ceremonies most ceremoniously. Well, I am quite ready, said the emperor. Do my new clothes not suit me handsomely? Then he turned once more to the mirror, pretending to admire his magnificent garments. The imperial ministers who were to carry the long train of the emperor's cloak both stooped over and appeared to lift something up from the floor. They walked along behind the emperor, holding their hands in the air stiffly, as though they were actually carrying the train of the royal mantle. Appeared in the procession under the ceremonial canopy. Everyone in the streets and all those watching from their windows exclaimed, "Oh, the emperor's new clothes are the most beautiful garments ever seen. What an exquisite train that is to the cloak. How graceful the fit. Such colors. In short, no one would admit that he could not see these much-admired clothes, because in doing so, he would have declared himself either a simpleton or unfit for his office. Never before had the emperor's clothes met with such unanimous approval. Suddenly from the crowd, a small child cried out, "But the emperor has no clothes on." "Hear what the innocent one says," exclaimed the child's father. And what the child had said was whispered from one to another through the crowd. "He has nothing on. The emperor has no clothes on." "But he has nothing on at all," cried all the people at last. And the emperor cringed, for he knew that what they said was absolutely true. The procession must continue all the same, he thought to himself. And he looked straight ahead and held himself more stiffly and more imperially than ever before. And the chamberlains followed closely behind, holding on to the imaginary train.
Well, folks, that's the end of our story, The Emperor's New Clothes. What did you think? Could you imagine the emperor walking around with his new clothes on, all tall and proud, even though he knew he didn't really have clothes on, and the people watching knew he didn't have clothes on? But that, I just find that story so interesting. I try to imagine what would happen next, right? Like the emperor just kept walking and pretending that he had clothes, and did the people in the crowd keep talking about it, or did they get convinced by everyone on the procession pretending that the emperor had clothes and that they were carrying a train behind him that's carrying the long piece of cloth that follows along the ground behind somebody. And so did you have fun pretending? I really like the parts where they're pretending to weave the cloth, and that's something we could do. We could pretend to weave cloth, sit at a loom and send strings through the loom and turn those strings into big pieces of cloth. What are you going to put into your cloth? Are you going to pretend to weave in some birds or some fishes? Are you going to use gold cloth? Are you going to use gold thread, I mean, to weave into that cloth? Are you going to have fringes dangling off the end of your cloth, right? We could sit here all day and pretend to weave things. I really like the part where they pretend to cut the string that's dangling off the new clothes. You know, they're pretending. Can you do that? Can you pretend in the air that you're doing things like weaving or maybe climbing a ladder or maybe making a cake or having a tea party at the bottom of the pool? We all like to pretend things, right? And grown-ups pretend too. We can pretend through our actions, like when we're miming or pretending like the weavers did, that they were weaving things, moving their bodies about to make it look like they're doing things. We can also pretend with our words. We just pretended with the story, just pretended with us and told us a nice story. I don't know if it's true. I imagine it's probably not. It's just a nice story, but it has some truths in it, some really interesting things that could be true. Like kids speaking the truth, right? And is it true that the king or the emperor was being kind to the weavers? You know, they use those words, oh, thank you, kind emperor, for being so kind. But was he being kind? Or was he actually being kind of foolish? Or what would be the word you would use to describe what the emperor was actually doing? And were his assistants, his ministers, were they wise? I mean, they used the word wise to describe them, but were they really wise if they didn't see any cloth and they didn't speak up about it? And the clothes, were they really beautiful and magnificent? Well, if we use our imaginations, they are, right? And so using our imaginations and communicating with our words, this is all stuff that we do up here in our thinking brain at the top of our skull. At the top of our brain, if we put our hands right on the top of our head, we are touching through our skull, through that bone, underneath that are the two halves of our thinking brain. And one half likes to measure and count and keep track of things specifically. And the other half likes to put those pieces together to make the big picture, to weave it. So one side of our brain is sort of like the thread, and the other side is the cloth, makes the cloth out of the thread. And if we don't have those two parts working together, where we can imagine and speak and pretend and figure out the truth and share information and understand it, then we're not gonna be able to make any real cloth. We'll be just pretending all the time, right? Which is fun, and I'm gonna get back to it. So we've got some really fun songs. The Power of the Word is about words and reading and how we can read other people's thoughts, and Topologically Speaking is one of my favorites coming up. Thanks for joining me.
I'm here to talk about a magical fact. Tell you how I got the power to be exact. It took a little training, but to my surprise, there it was, music to my eyes. Got the power of the word, it's what I need. I'm a part of the world, cause I can read. Power of the word in my brain and soul, I'm in control. Got the power, I was kind of confused. Sorry,
looking scribble gave me headache and blues. People kept reading to me, showing the way. Suddenly, I'm excited to say, I got the power of the word, it's what I need. I'm a part of the world, cause I can read. Power of the word in my brain and soul, I'm in control. Putting those letters all together is fun, especially when I can read and say everyone. Learning my language at home and school, never ever will I feel a fool. I got the power of the word, it's what I need. I'm a part of the world, cause I can read. Power of the word in my brain and soul, I'm in control. There's a group of grown-ups I know in Duluth. Couldn't read a lick and they were hiding the truth. Bravely got a tutor and they found the key. Open the door, now they're free like me. I'm a part of the world cause I can read. Power of the word in my brain and soul, I'm in control. Newspaper, magazine, a book or a snap, I know every number, every name on the map. Any sign of any kind, I know how. I got the power, no stopping me now. I got the power of the word, it's what I need. I'm a part of the world cause I can read. Power of the word in my brain and soul, I'm in control. What I see makes sense to me. What I see makes sense to me. What I see makes sense to me. I got the power, the power, the power, the power. The power of the word is what I need. I'm a part of the world cause I can't read. Power of the word in my brain and soul, I'm in control. I got the power of the word, what I need. Part of the world cause I can't read. Power of the word in my brain and soul, I'm in control. Yeah,
There's a story going round, and it started long ago, and everyone keeps telling it in places high and low. And because my heart is weary, I really want to know, is it true what they say? Is it true? Is it true there is magic that we have never known? Is it true there are powers that we can call our own? Is it true there is someone whose wonders stand alone? Is it true what they say? Is it true?
Is it true?
Not because they told me so.
Truthful USA. I tell the truth most every day. I know some kids will always lie. They come from Phippsville. That is why. I know a boy whose name is TJ. He sneaks my toys home one a day. I'd gladly share. I'd gladly give. But Phippsville's where my toys now live. I come from Truthful USA. I tell the truth most every day. I know some kids will always lie. They come from Phippsville. That is why. I know a girl named Cindy Lou goes to the nurse and fakes the flu. Now when I'm sick, I'm stuck at school. The nurse suspects I'm faking too. But I come from Truthful USA. I tell the truth most every day. I know some kids will always lie. They come from Phippsville. That is why. Most boys and girls from all around, like Fictionville and Storytown, are just like you. And here's the proof. The most they do is stretch the truth. They're not from Truthful USA, but they're truthful anyway. There are some kids who always lie, but they come from Phippsville. That is why. Are you from Phippsville? No, you reply. But if you are from Phippsville, it could be a lie.
It's time for taking stock. Everybody's got a part to play. Everybody brought their hearts today. Sing about the rock and sing it strong. Cause we belong to the song. And the rock goes on and on and on. One is for the ones who came before. For the treasures at our door. Three is for the rockin' jubilee. Four is for the future that will be. When we start to sing, we sing it strong. Cause we belong to the song. And the rock goes on and on. And cause we belong to the song.
Oh, yeah.
To the song. When the rock goes on and on and on.
Yes, folks, the rock goes on and on and on. I hope you really enjoy those songs by Fraggle Rock. I love getting up and dancing around, especially when that great beat comes on. And they all start singing and clapping their hands. I was dancing around the studio here, having a great time. I hope you're out there enjoying your Saturday. This has been Amy's Kids Show, and today we heard The Emperor's New Clothes, which is a really interesting story about pretending, right? And pretending things. And isn't it fun to just, like, pretend things? We can pretend to be sipping tea at the bottom of the pool if we want to. And we know how to hold our breath and everything. And I wish you guys a really great weekend of swimming or riding your bike or doing whatever you enjoy to do. And, of course, we want to celebrate being human. And being human means using our thinking brain, our human brain, which likes to pretend and likes to play and likes to make up stories and also, you know, likes to read and know the truth and figure things out. And I wanted to tell you a little story. I don't know if you kids are aware out there, but being able to read things has not always been allowed. You know, back in the olden days, there were emperor-type people, rulers, who decided that people weren't allowed to read for themselves, that someone else would read the books and tell you what they meant and what it said. And there was actually a kind of a revolution that happened where people started to print their own books and sneak them around and read them because they really wanted to read them for themselves, right? And reading is something that we do with this thinking part of our brain, this human top part of our brain. And it takes a while to learn how to read. You know, usually children don't learn how to read or can't learn how to read until they're about 8 years old, maybe six. How old were you when you learned to read? Or maybe you're working on that right now. So whatever age that is, when that part of our brain starts to wake up, that thinking brain, that's when we can learn how to read and put things together and see the big picture and the little picture and make sense out of both things, right? Take the thread and make it into cloth. And so that's a really important skill, and reading is a great way to practice that. So I'm hoping that folks are going to get out and celebrate the fact that we can read things for ourselves, and we can read things that people are pretending or have made up, or we can read things that people are telling the truth about. We can read all kinds of things, and then we can decide. So that's a super exciting thing to celebrate. So I hope you are loving your day and loving yourself and loving breathing and smiling. We have been celebrating here on Amy's Kids Show. Go celebrate yourself. Go celebrate sunshine and oxygen and everything else in the world, and play and have a good time. Remember, you are the greatest.